It's our custom on Good Friday to, at this point in the program, observe the communion service. But with the virus, we'll not be doing that this evening, but I want to draw our attention to what the songs have been focusing on. We observe the communion because it's interesting. As Jesus came to the conclusion of his earthly life, anticipating his crucifixion, the one thing he instructed his disciples to do, and those who would become his disciples down through history till he came back, was to remember his death until he comes again. And that's what happens when we partake of the elements in the communion service, the bread and the cup. We are proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. The most significant event that has ever occurred or will ever occur is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is the focal point of history. And even when we move into eternity, the most important event for us will be the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. In fact, when we're transported into the future in the book of Revelation, we find in the courts of heaven, they are celebrating the Lamb who was slain. It's the death of Christ that makes it all possible. In the book of Hebrews, we are told that once at the consummation of the ages, Jesus Christ was manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Think of that. From God's perspective, it was at the consummation of the ages, what all the preceding periods of time had anticipated was the time when Jesus Christ, God's Son, the one by whom, through whom, and for whom all things were created, came to this earth and gave his life a sacrifice, a violent death to pay the penalty for our sin. The prophet Isaiah, Aaron quoted from Isaiah 53, 700 years before Christ, the prophet Isaiah anticipated that. And as we've talked about when we've studied some of the prophetic portions, the Old Testament prophets sometimes give a prophecy of the distant future, and they do it in the past tense. Because when God says something is going to happen, it's settled, just as settled if it had already happened. And that's what we have in Isaiah chapter 53. Keep in mind, this is 700 years before Jesus Christ would come to earth. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried. But we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. Now note this next verse. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. That's the amazing thing that is taking place when Christ hangs on the cross and gives his life. He is taking our place so that the penalty for our sin, which is death, could be paid by him so that God could offer us a gift of forgiveness if we would but place our faith in him. Back in the book of Hebrews, where I just read to you that it was at the consummation of the ages, everything was leading up to this point, from the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden down through the periods of time. And now, 2,000 years after that event, what are we gathered here looking back to that event? For those of you who have placed your faith in Christ, you've experienced the power of what Christ provided with his death on the cross, that you could be forgiven your sins, cleansed, become a child of the living God. Once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested. Christ was manifested, revealed. He came, was born into the human race for the purpose of putting away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this comes judgment, so Christ, now note this, emphasis on once, Christ also having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin. He came the first time to this earth to give his life as a payment for sin. He will come to earth a second time. But the penalty for sin has been dealt with, and all those who believe in him will enter into the kingdom he's prepared. Those who haven't will enter into the judgment for their own sin. You know, the sad thing about all of this, at Easter, there are many churches that will be having Good Friday services. They'll be celebrating Easter. I realize in our country it's pushed more and more out of the way. We want to have the holiday, but we don't want to have it any connection to anything religious. But the reality of it is, this is the most important event. And the sad thing, even religious people, Protestants and Catholics, get sidetracked into the physical religious motions, formalities, and miss the importance of the message. And that's what God is talking about in the book of Hebrews, in the portion we've been reading. We're told in that same chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. You know what had happened to the nation Israel? God had given his word, and that they needed to trust him, but they began to put their confidence in going through the motions of being religious, offering sacrifices, observing special religious days. They thought they were good enough to go now. And God says, no, you can't be saved by offering a sacrifice. You can't be saved by going through certain physical activities. How many people today trust the sacraments, as they call it, the means of grace? Well, I was baptized. Well, I've taken communion. I can go to confession. I attend church every Sunday, as though that would get you to heaven. Why would Christ come to earth and die if you could do it any other way? It's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. A body. He took on himself humanity without ceasing to be deity, so he could suffer and die on the cross. By this will we have been sanctified, set apart by God for himself. We are holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, there's only one sacrifice for all time, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. The work was done. The only provision that ever could be made had been made. The Son of God died on the cross, paid the penalty for everyone. The condition is you can only have his payment credited to your account when you recognize that you are a sinner and place your faith in him, not in the church, not in your baptism, not in any of these other things, but in Christ and him alone. That's the one sacrifice. Then you have cleansing and forgiveness. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those that are set apart, those that are sanctified. He goes on in the next chapter, as most of you are aware, to talk about without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must believe God and what he has accomplished in Christ for salvation. Where there is forgiveness, like God provides in Christ, there is no longer any offering for sin. How sad. Many people are trying to be more religious, trying to clean up their life, trying to go through the motions of what their churches may teach and require or their religious system. But it's all been done and paid for. But they ignore it and go on their own way. There is a word of warning as I pull this together. It's a very serious matter before God. He provided his son to be the Savior, the only Savior. Those who do not believe in him have offended God with an eternal offense. The righteous one will live by his faith. If you turn back, God says, my soul has no pleasure in him. You shrink back to destruction. In other words, you can sit here and hear the message about believing in Jesus Christ. If you turn your back and walk away, do not believe in him, God says you turn away and go to destruction. There is no other way. There is no other option. But the good thing is we don't need another one, because Jesus Christ has made a provision that is sufficient for each and every one. He offers it to everyone. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. To get any better than that? That's why we celebrate the death of Christ. It is the most important event in all history. In eternity, when we're in the presence of God, we will look back and praise God for the salvation he provided in his son. Many years ago, in the 1700s, there was a slave trader named John Newton. He was a slave trader, and he ended up by his own actions being a slave himself. And then God reached out and saved him marvelously. And he became a preacher of the Word of God and written a number of hymns, one of which is about grace. And we're going to sing a version of that. Aaron's going to come. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And we will join in as a congregation. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that was shown to us in Jesus Christ. The grace that provided us, undeserving sinners, a salvation that you give to us as a free gift. Lord, it's simply a matter of us humbling ourselves, acknowledging our sin, accepting the wonderful gift of forgiveness and life in Jesus Christ. Lord, we would never tire of praising you and giving you honor for the grace that you have given in Christ. And for any who are here, Lord, who have yet to place their faith in Christ, may the reality of your love for them and the provision you've made for them become real even this evening, that we might all rejoice together as we look forward to the Savior who is coming again, and we pray in his name. Amen.